Hello and welcome to this podcast produced by the Northern Region of the University and College Union. My name is John Bryan, and in this episode I'll be speaking to Sarah Parry and Fiona McGarry. Sarah is the Branch Development Organiser for the Union in the Northern Region, and she's going to be talking about the sessions she's organised online for our FE reps in colleges. But before that, I'll be speaking to Fiona. And Fiona is the National Chair of the Academic Related and Professional Services Staff Committee of the Union, and she's going to be telling us about what the committee does, a bit more about academic related staff, but also, more importantly, the committee has submitted a motion to National UCU Congress on working from home. And I'll be speaking to her about that motion and what she wants the union to do.
Mr. Ponton, I believe you have a filter turned on in the video settings. You might want to...
Can you hear me, Judge?
I can hear you. I think it's a filter.
It is, and I don't know how to remove it. I've got my assistant here. She's trying to, but I'm prepared to go forward with it. I'm here live. I'm not a cat.
Despite being digital natives, fully 95% of Generation Z and 93% of millennials are having a tough time making the transition to the virtual work environment. I mean, let's face it, working from home is hard.
What has your desk looked like for the past year? Despite the memes, tweets, and videos, it's likely working from home is here to stay. Even after the pandemic, most office employees want to keep doing it at least one day a week. But this brave new world of working is forcing policymakers and employers to wrangle with some unforeseen issues, many of which will have far-reaching effects on workers around the world for decades to come.
So we're all aware of some of the pitfalls of working from home, as well as some of the benefits, some of which we've been able to laugh about over the last 12 months. But what should the union, and more specifically, what should members of the union do when working from home becomes a permanent reality? How should the union advise branches and members about what to do? This is a subject of a motion that is going to UCU Congress, and it's being put forward by the Academic Related Staff and Professional Services Staff Committee of the Union, and Fiona McGarry is the chair. I spoke to her about the motion about working from home and what she wants the union to do, but prior to asking her about that, I wanted to find out a bit more about what the committee was and who the sort of staff are on the committee and what it's trying to achieve. Here, I asked Fiona about the committee.
It's been acknowledged over the years that our union is very much more than an academic union, an academic for lectures, if you will, and we have come together as a group, ARPS representatives from across the different regions, to share knowledge, to talk about what's going on in our institutions, and to try and progress the interests of those specific members as much as we can.
And I guess it must be frustrating for you at times that the academic related and professional staff are sometimes ignored, not necessarily in the union, but definitely in the media. So I do remember when the General Secretary was on Question Time, she was introduced as the General Secretary of the Lecturers Union. And that must be a bit galling for you, that the kind of media don't recognise that, you know, it's not just about academic and lecturers, it's also about other staff as well.
It's definitely frustrating. I mean, don't get me wrong, we certainly know our place in our union, and our academic colleagues do value us and see us and hear us and work with us. So that's there's no internal issue there. But yes, from the perspective of media attention, particularly around strike times, it's a little bit demoralising, I guess, for staff that are ARP staff that are seeing references to the academics union, to lecturers union in the news whenever we're standing there shoulder to shoulder alongside our academics with the same interests, the same goals, the same fighting spirit. So it'd be nice to get some recognition.
Yeah, and that's definitely the case with the media, that they often just shortcut things and just talk about lecturer strike, and that is frustrating. I know when I've stood on the picket line at Durham University, Newcastle University and elsewhere, that people say it's a little bit galling that we're kind of not recognised in the media. But I wanted to talk to you specifically about a motion that your committee has put to Congress, which kind of jumped out off the page to me, because it was on about working from home culture and the cost of doing that. Can you just tell us about the motion and about where it kind of came from and the discussions that you've had around these sort of issues?
Sure. Well, it's one of the hot topics of the day, isn't it? You know, along with vaccinations and opening up and coming out of lockdown and all that, what's going to happen for the future of work? Where are we going to work? How are we going to work? Working patterns, all of those things. I think that it must be acknowledged that over the last year, well, over a year now, what is it, like 15 odd months, people have had different experiences of working from home. So some people, it has been second nature. They've taken this on. It's been life-changing and life-affirming. You know, they have just taken to it like a duck to water. Other people, it hasn't worked so well for. And for various reasons, you know, that we can discuss in a moment, you know, that's acknowledged as well. However, it's very important for us now at this stage, whenever we know that our employers are starting to look at working from home going forward, hybrid models of working, flexible working arrangements, all those things, it's very important for us to be at the forefront of that and to ensure that our interests are put forward to our employers before we end up with policies that just aren't going to be suitable and are in the interests of the employers alone. So we very much wanted to put forward a motion that would ask Congress to help develop some local bargaining guidance on the culture of working from home to allow branches to negotiate that locally. We know that the cost of living for so many of our members has went up by virtue of the fact that they're just having to heat their home for far more hours of the day than they would normally have to. And all those utilities, the rate, you know, the cost of that does build up. So it was very much the move to working from home. It had to happen. It had to happen quickly. It was literally an overnight thing at Queen's University. And I know for so many other institutions. We now want to make sure that if it's going to continue, and it certainly looks like it is going to continue, that it's done in a way that is appropriate to the needs of the workers.
Okay, so if I'm looking at the motion now, Fiona, one of the things that you want Congress to do and the union to do, it says that Congress resolves that UCU should develop and publicise local bargaining guidance on working from home culture, support all branches to negotiate using this guidance as a priority, to provide guidance and support to all branches to negotiate working from home utilities payments, and further develop bargaining and campaigning guidance to ensure all staff, including academic related professional staff, are protected from detriment when critiquing their employer. Can you just talk about exactly what you're looking for? Are there any examples that you've seen which is either good practice or bad practice or things to kind of watch out for?
We need to be sharing best practice, and we need to be sharing the best practice in negotiating these agreements at a local level. You know, there's no point in one branch having an agreement that works well and is what we would want to ideally to see, whereas another branch who for whatever reason come up with an agreement that, you know, it falls short of what's needed. So if we have some guidance from UCU, it would be excellent, and it would be really, really useful. With regard to providing guidance and support to branches to negotiate work from home utility payments, we know that so many of our members, particularly those on precarious contracts and casualised labour, you know, can very much be struggling to survive on the rate of pay that they're receiving. So the additional utility costs that I touched upon, you're having a real impact on people, like a real serious impact on people. It was something that, as I understand, most branches did broach around the time of the move to home working last year. At Queen's University, where I work, you know, whenever we asked for it, we were advised, no, look, whenever there's no commuting costs involved, so the additional cost of utility bills should be offset by saving your you know, your commuting costs. But for so many of our staff, we live within walking distance of the university. So that in itself, it was sort of a red herring. But there were so many other things to worry about at the time that it sort of fell by the wayside and it sort of disappeared. So if we get some good guidance and support to negotiate these payments going forward and some good practice as to what has been achieved in other branches, I feel like that would be really, really useful for everybody. And then the final part is developing bargaining and campaigning guidance to ensure all staff, including our staff, are protected from detriment when critiquing their employer. I feel like that could potentially be an overarching motion somehow in itself. I feel like so many workers in our sector, I mean, I mentioned people on precarious contracts, etc. You know, there is a real fear of speaking out and speaking out against our employers, and it should be an absolute right. And, you know, there is statutory protection for people, for trade union members who are completing trade union duties. So we should be able to have the confidence that we will not suffer any detriment whatsoever when critiquing our employer. And it would be beneficial for employers to see that also. I mean, our members come from a wide range of backgrounds, disciplines, professional areas, and we have really, really good ideas that can 100% enhance any policy, any practice at all that is prevailing in our institutions. And if they just engage with us and talk to us, they will see that. So therefore, yeah, but it's very, very important for our members to understand that they'll be protected from detriment and can therefore have the confidence to get involved in this.
That's really helpful. And I think one of the things I also wanted to touch on just finally was that you mentioned in the motion that you're aware that some of these hybrid models are kind of started already. And I'm aware of a college that I'm working with in the region where I work, where there's one section of that which has a kind of instituted a pilot of hybrid working where people are working from home and in the office, you know, for a number of days each.
Sure.
If that's going on at the moment, have you got any kind of initial advice for people just, you know, prior to kind of something coming out from the Congress after this? Have you got any initial advice for people about what they might do, some of the things they might look out for?
Sure. Well, one of the things that I hear, I mean, I listen to different webinars from a load of different sources and what have you, just because I'm a bit of an anorak in these areas. But one of the things that I'll hear people from other sectors saying is, you know, if my employer, or given that my employer is now recognising how working from home is beneficial to my work-life balance, I'm happy to go the extra mile. I'm happy to maybe log on after the kids go to bed and do a little bit more. I'm happy to maybe work through my lunchtime, you know, to benefit the employer. And I feel like we're almost in danger of being so thankful after our whole working lives being spent working from offices, the rush to get to work in the morning, the rush to get home, sitting in traffic in the commute. I feel like we're in danger of becoming really, really thankful to have the opportunity to work from home and have a better work and life balance for those of us that are experiencing a better work and life balance based on it. But I really want people to look at, are you? So we shouldn't be beholden to our employers for allowing us to work in a way that is most beneficial for us due to the way we work best. And I feel like if your reason for wanting to continue working from home is that you're happy to work through your lunch and you're happy to log back on at night whenever the kids are in bed and you're going to go the extra mile, the extra 10 miles, just think about that. Because while you may not have to get up at the crack of dawn and do the hideous getting out of the house on time to get to work on time to then rush home in the evenings, you know, it's not a fair compromise. You know, just because you're from home, your commuting time isn't part of your working time. It's a time, well, it's not a stress, less time, let's be real. But that commuting time shouldn't become additional working hours because you're working for free. And I feel like we could be moving towards a situation where, and I'm sure this is not alien to people, but for me, I see so many people who go the extra mile and go the extra mile. And then whenever they get to a stage where they have to step back and do still more than what would be expected of them. It's somehow seen as they're taking the foot off the gas and, you're not performing as well as you used to, whenever they were already performing above and beyond anything that could ever be expected of them. So what I would say to anybody who's currently in the midst of the finalising a procedure like this, where they can work from home or currently working a trial model, just be very careful. Like, keep an eye on your working time and what you're doing and when you're doing it, because it's not going to be sustainable if you're suddenly working 10 hours a day for the foreseeable future. It's just not sustainable. You need to protect yourself and look after your mental health and your well-being. I would also say to anybody who is working from home in a situation that's just not appropriate, so be that they don't have the facilities that they need, they don't have the hardware that they need to do their job, or be it down to their personal circumstances. You know, we know, I mean, in Northern Ireland, it's one of the things that has stuck with me the most over the last year, and it's probably something that even in 20 years from now, whenever I look back to the COVID time, it's going to be one of the first things I think about. The rates of domestic violence here in Northern Ireland had caused the police, that is, had skyrocketed at the start of lockdown, and I know that's not unique to Northern Ireland. So there are so many ways in which our colleagues are working that we don't know about that they need support for. So what I would say to you is, if you're experiencing a hardware issue or a working equipment issue, tell your employer, because they, whether you're in the office or whether you're at home, you're doing your work for your employer, and they are responsible for ensuring your health and safety in that arena. So they must provide you with the hardware and the equipment that you need. With regard to if you're working in an environment at home where you can't do it and, you know, you need to get back in the office, I would ask you to get in touch with your local branch and get some good guidance and signposted as to where you can go to get some really good advice about how you can broach that with your employer. I mean, it's so many of these things are not something that you're going to want to speak to your manager about. However, there are agencies out there that can assist you and could perhaps work as, you know, like a go-between to ensure that you get a working arrangement that keeps you safe and keeps you safe.
That's great. That's good advice for all of us. And thanks very much for that, Fiona. Now, you're speaking at the UCU Congress, which is at the end of May, and it's motion number 20. Best of luck with that. And thanks very much for coming onto the podcast and talking to us all.
Thank you very much. And just one last shout out to the University of Brighton. Thank you so much. We've received your amendments, which I'm perceiving to be enhancements. So thank you for that. And thank you for your attention to it. And just one last note to say solidarity to all our colleagues who are currently involved in industrial action. Victory to you all. We're here with you, and all the very best.
Thanks very much for that, Fiona. All the best now.
Thank you, John. All the best now. Bye.
We hope that you're enjoying this episode. Please don't forget to leave us a rating and a review. It helps other people find the show. Please don't forget to like, favourite or subscribe to this podcast in whichever podcast app you use. You can find us by simply searching UCU Northern Region. And please share this podcast with your friends, family, neighbours, colleagues, anyone who listens to podcasts and might be interested in finding out more about the University and College Union and what we do in the various post-16 sectors of education. So I'm joined by Sarah Parry, who is the Branch Development Organiser for UCU in the Northern Region. Welcome to the podcast, Sarah.
Hi, John.
And I know one of the things that you've been doing recently is you've been trying to engage with our representatives about some bite-sized training, some sort of briefings. Can you just tell us a little bit about what you're doing, please?
Yes. Well, we realise that reps find it, you know, difficult to commit to the time that's involved in a longer course. And so I wanted to ask reps what they wanted from maybe some smaller sessions over Zoom, which we've become accustomed to using over the last year or so. And so the outcome of that survey, we sent it to all branch secretaries in further education branches in the region, and they forwarded it to their reps. And so the outcome was that reps wanted to talk about, you know, the issues surrounding representing members with management, because sometimes people don't think they have the confidence to do that, or, you know, they want to be more fully equipped with the skills to do that. So the first session, which was overwhelmingly the one that most people wanted to talk about, was equipping reps for the skills needed to represent a member, maybe in a meeting with management. So that first session is going to take place on the 15th of June. The second issue that kind of a lot of reps wanted to talk about was negotiating a policy with management. Either that would be a new policy or a policy that was up for change, and maybe those changes weren't as favourable to members as the previous policy was, which is sometimes the case. So there will be a session on that on the 24th of June. Now, most reps wanted the sessions to be outside working hours, as in after 5 p.m. So those sessions will be at 5:15 on the 15th and the 24th of June for around about 45 minutes long, just so that we're not talking about things for too long and they're more accessible for people. If you are a rep in a further education college and you would like to come to these sessions, then if you send me an email to sparry, S for Sarah, sparry at ucu.org.uk, and I'll send you a Zoom link for the meeting.
Thanks very much then to Sarah for telling us more about the online courses briefings that she's running, which are starting in June, and they are for representatives of UCU in further education in the Northern region. And just a reminder of Sarah's email address, it's S for Sierra, P-A-R-R-Y at ucu.org.uk. Now, regular listeners to the podcast will know that from time to time we give you updates on what's happening in other parts of UCU and also things that are happening in further education and higher education in the Northern region. And you may well have heard that Durham University appointed a new Vice-Chancellor at the start of May, Professor Karen O'Brien, who is currently at the University of Oxford. She'll join Durham University on the 4th of January 2022, succeeding Professor Stuart Corbridge, who retires a little bit later on this year. The Durham University press release says that at the University of Oxford, during the first phase of the COVID-19 pandemic, she successfully managed the university's preparations for operating safely during the current academic year. And prior to joining Oxford, she was Vice Principal for Education at King's College London. In other parts of the region, there has been strike action at our prison education places in the Northern region. Around 600 UCU members working in prison education walked out of prisons on the 11th and the 12th of May. The walkouts were called after 68% of UCU members voted for industrial action, saying that they're prepared to take strike action over COVID health and safety concerns. The dispute centres on Novus, the company which operates the prison education system in parts of this region and parts of the rest of the country, over Novus's failure to meaningfully engage with UCU over COVID health and safety concerns and on-site provision. In other news, you may well have heard that the University of Leicester is subject to a boycott, which UCU have called for. The University of Leicester have threatened over 100 staff with compulsory redundancies, and managers have refused to share data on finance with the campus trade unions. The long-running dispute has led to UCU implementing this ultimate sanction of being grey-listed, and UCU members have also begun a marking and assessment boycott. You can find out more information at www.ucu.org.uk/support the Leicester boycott, And there are various things that you can do to support them in a very easy way. So you can tweet or use any form of your social media and use the hashtag boycott Leicester. And there are some photographs that you can quite simply download and put on your video conferencing background, whether that's Zoom, Teams or anything else. Please do spread the message about the boycott of the University of Leicester. Now, with so much going on and people often talking about cuts in pay or pensions, changes to terms and conditions or redundancies, we have to remember that the union does deliver some successful outcomes and it's important to champion these. So if you look on the UCU website, you can find out information about the dispute about restructuring at Goldsmiths University, and that dispute has now been resolved. You can also find out information about the United Colleges Group. Members at both UCG colleges, the City of Westminster College and the College of North West London, have been fighting against imposed changes to contractual terms and conditions. And there is a deal on the table following intensive negotiations between UCU negotiators and UCG management. UCU members have approved, in principle, a revised harmonised contract incorporating CPD remission for all teaching staff and a number of other things. More closer to home, it's a big congratulations to Northumbria University branch of UCU, who've used their successful industrial action ballot as leverage to secure agreement with management that anyone who is uncomfortable with returning to the campus can continue to work remotely. People who've listened to this podcast regularly throughout the pandemic will know that Northumbria University have balloted very successfully for strike action, and you can look up previous episodes to find out how they did it and information about their dispute. To find out more from UCU about the disputes that are going on, please go to our national website, and you can go to ucu.org.uk, your-support-is-needed. Thanks for listening into the podcast produced by the Northern Region of the University and College Union, and thanks to Sarah and Fiona for talking to us. If you want to find out more information about UCU and some of the issues that we've talked about on this podcast, please check out the Union's national website. If you go to ucu.org.uk/ARP staff, you can find out all the information and advice and guidance that we provided for academic related and professional services staff. And you can also click on some of the information and find out how to get involved. If you want to know about the motions that are being taken to the Union's National Congress, then please go to ucu.org.uk/Congress 2021. You can find out all the motions that have been discussed there, including the one that we've asked Fiona to talk about home working. Please don't forget to like, favourite or subscribe this podcast, and also tell others who would be interested. Thanks for listening in. See you again now.